And I just want you to understand something, that the Word of God is critical for us, because how do we toughen up? How do we become a mature Christian? You know, the Bible says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're not supposed to read the Word just so you can know a scripture. Reading the Word of God should spark a moment of faith where you hear a direction from God. And then to please God, hearing is not enough. I have to actually take action steps towards what I hear and walk something out, because that's how I start to see the miraculous, the supernatural, and the revelation of the development of what God wants to bring to pass in my life. I will tell you something. I remember that. Now, I know you guys don't believe this, but I used to get angry and fight every once in a while. Now I couldn't do that. But I will tell you what, that the first time I really saw God move in a significant way is when I came into a moment where in the past I would have responded in a physical way, and I did not. I can remember that it took everything I could to avoid that situation. In fact, a guy physically came after me, and, you know, one was trying to knock me over. You know, he did the old stand behind me, you know, get behind you and try to back you up, and you trip, and the friend was going to jump on you. But God showed me, hey, someone's behind you. Step to the side. So I stepped to the side of that, and then this guy came trying to hit me, and I just let it roll by me and put him softly down. And before, I would have did my brother's military move, boom, bam. But I didn't do any of that. And when I got away from that situation, I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord flooded me, because I honestly could say, I'm not that same person. Now, what it took was me being willing to say, I used to believe an eye for an eye, but now I don't. My dad told me, boy, if someone fights you, you better come home without bruises on you. And that's what I believed in the natural. But when I understood God's way, I didn't even have a right to jump on my enemies. And all of a sudden, after I didn't fight, something happened. Man, I was changed. I was different. And it started doing something in me that every time I would activate my faith in that area, God would give me more patience and more kindness and more love and more virtue. And I tell you what, this is what it takes to really walk out God's way. You can't just hear the word, but it's going to have to come alive in you. And in fact, before I go too much further, I want you to understand something, that the word of God actually adds health and strength to you physically. Spiritually is one thing. But I want to show you some scriptures here that I really need you to grab a hold of to hear what God is really saying to us. And the first one I want to read is in Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm sure this has been said to us before, but tonight I want to just pause on a few moments within it. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now listen to me, you need to understand the context of the Bible. The Bible says that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And out of our heart is how we should be living, amen? And so what happens is that when the commandments of God actually gets into our heart, listen to this, this is what it says about these commandments that get in us and take over and actually change our mind and change our way of thinking and change our action towards people, towards life, and towards what we will do and not do. And it says here, look at this, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So now we see that spiritual adherence to the Word of God starts to impact us physically. And look, it even goes on further. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. See, we talked about surrender, right? And what that means is that if I'm truly going to trust in the Lord with all mine heart, it means that I have to do it His way no matter what my flesh says. Listen, tithing may not make sense to the natural mind. Listen, when I first got involved in God, I understood exactly where some people stand. We didn't have enough to get by as it was. We couldn't pay our bills the way it was. It was a struggle for us to make it week to week, and sometimes we had to go a day or two without the food we want to eat. And all of a sudden now you want me to give you 10% of nothing? 10% of something that don't even last, even when we're trying to help it last? But when I was willing, and let me tell you something, Miss Regina, once she started reading the word is what the word is. And I thank God for that, because she never hesitated on anything. When it came to the scripture, if God said it, buddy, we'd jump in with both feet. And I can remember we started tithing. Even there was a time when we first began where if we pay our tithe, we don't have money to pay our bills. Now, this sounds dumb in the world's eyes, but I tell you what, we just decided to trust and honor God. And what it meant was what this word says, trust in the Lord with all mine heart. Listen, I had to decide right away that even though money used to rule me, it couldn't anymore. Even though I had loyalty to my job, I realized it was no longer my job putting my paycheck in my hand. It was the grace of God that even gave those men the wisdom to come up with the idea to start the business that even made a position for me to be there, and I was to work on my job as unto the Lord. And so then tithing wasn't an option for me, because now I know better. I know what the Word of God says. And once we started releasing that tithe, I'm telling you that we were fully trusting in God. We no longer leaned into our understanding, and before we know it, man, I'm telling you, we got to the end of the week, and I'll never forget this one day. I said, wow, we got $40. And I said, Lord, this is amazing. We got $40 before I get paid today. And I mean, that Friday morning, I was rejoicing. I mean, I was headed out feeling good, and God let me feel good about myself for a few minutes. And he said, yeah, the fact that you quit spending money on alcohol helps too. Well, bam, whoa, praise God. I said, Lord, if I could have had that wisdom, I would have stopped that a long time ago, amen. But what he was doing was he was giving me wisdom with faith. And he started telling me, he said, Philip, you understand you're doing good. He said, but if you're going to fully follow me, it's not good enough to put a little bit of the world out of the way. You got to put it all out. And buddy, he made me read that Old Testament. Do you know that the Old Testament is still a part of the Bible? Praise God. And I want you to know, unlike some of these goofy people on YouTube and on, oh, I'll be nice. You know, some of these unlearned people on YouTube and on TV, some of these immature people, I don't want you to be silly enough to believe that you can take the Old Testament and throw it out and live just on the New Testament. Now, if you're just beginning your faith, I'm going to tell you, read the New Testament, amen? But I'm also going to tell you that every part of the Word of God is good, because according to the book of John, the Lord says that that entire Bible was written so that you could be saved. Yes. And I want you to know something, that that Bible from Genesis to Revelation is still relevant today. Amen? Yes. Remember. Praise God. Woo! Remember, even Reverend Randy said, listen, God is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And we just talked the other service about how if God was rewriting the Bible today, he'd write it exactly the same. Woo! He wouldn't delete parts of it. Now, here's what I'm telling you. Lean into God's understanding means that I don't just read the Word and get my opinion on it. Did you hear what I said? I don't read the Word and get my opinion on it. I read the Word and rightly divide that truth. And once I understand the truth, thou shalt not steal or kill, guess what? Those things become not optional in my life. They become a permanent part of who I am. And I want you to understand that the Word of God is not optional for your little opinion or your little attitude. The Word of God does not apply just when we're feeling good. The Word of God must be the truth above all other truths all the time. Say all the time. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 4 with me, because I didn't want you to have to work too hard tonight, so I tried to keep scriptures close together. No, it just worked out that way. But listen to this. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, look what it says. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Boy, sometimes when I read those words, it reminds me of my wife, Regina. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I need to hear. No, all the time. I need to hear what she has to say. Oh, stop it. This is hurtful enough, praise God. But anyhow, yeah, no, I need to hear what she has to say. No, sometimes we forget that some of the most critical voices and opportunities God has given to us is in the sovereign relationships he's given us. You know, my son gets to say, hey, I didn't get to choose my dad. But he likes to remind my wifey that she chose me. Woo! I don't know if he's trying to say that her faith is bigger than his faith or what. I don't know what he's getting at there. No, but what I'm saying is that when God puts you in covenant relationships, even with me as your pastor, I love it when people say that they want to hear my counsel until they hear it. I can't tell you how many times people have sat down with me and their eyes almost go cross because they thought I was going to get over here on this subject and God tells me something different to tell them than what they want to hear. My job is not to tickle your ears and make you feel good. My job is to help you see the Word of God and let that guide you. Amen? Woo, praise the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's so amazing because the Bible says, length of days will the Word add to us. You know, the Bible actually says in these scriptures that the Word of God is health and marrow to our bones. You know, the Word of God can cause you to have peace in such a way that stress doesn't overtake you, that worry doesn't overtake you. The Word of God can calm you down, de-stress you, and you can find yourself being healthier and living a fuller life just because you have a peace and a confidence that you didn't used to have. Listen, I got to tell you something. If you're a person that says, man, my job stresses me out, step into the Word a little deeper. Even better yet, allow God to help you at work. I'll never forget one time, I'm telling you, I have always had been blessed at work and just God gave me favor and I thank God for it. But one time I got promoted into a job. And I got to tell you, my first few weeks in that new promotion that I prayed for and knew God was going to give me, I'm telling you, I was waking up all the time, just waking up with the worry and stress of my job. And one day the Lord just spoke to me, John chapter 5, you know what it says? Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. And I said, if the Lord gave me this job, why am I trying to use my 10 to 15 years of experience to get the job done? Just because I know a lot about my job. I want to rely on my own energy. I want to rely on my knowledge. I want to rely on what I know, who I can know, and who I can call, and where I know this is and where I know this is. All that's good. I don't ever want you to not have experience under your belt. I do. But I also want to make sure that you have bathed your work day in God. Father, I can't do my job today without your strength. God, I thank you that I will not make a decision on my own effort today. I thank you, God, that when I make a decision, it's going to be filled with the mind of Christ. You are physically going to help me. You're going to touch my hands. You're going to touch my mind. You're going to help me do this job better than if I just did it on my own strength. I tell you what, sometimes I could work 10, 12 hours a day and still have a good attitude. I'm telling you, there was a time where we were building and, man, I'd go in at 5 in the morning and work till 8 or 9 o'clock at night, show back up at 4:30 in the morning, and those guys thought I was nuts because I'd still be walking down those aisles singing and praising. They had no idea that I was walking through there saying, Lord, you will bless everywhere my footsteps. And God, you say in your word that wherever the soles of my feet step, you have given me that territory. Woo! Telling you. Guys would say, are you serious? Do you have to smile at 5 o'clock in the morning? I said, yeah, if you hung around me like I get to, you would do that. Amen. But the Lord will help you, man. If you're stressed out, if you have long hours, have you ever thought, instead of complaining about your 12-hour schedule, have you ever thought and said, God put me in this job. He knew my hours was going to go to 12 hours before I even knew I was going to be here. What if God gave me 12 hours so he can bless me financially? What if God gave me 12 hours so I could keep a good attitude, so I could keep my strength, and other people would look and say, how in the world are you doing what I can't do? And what if it's an opportunity for me to say, the Lord helps me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen? I want to remind you today that God needs us to be willing to make sure that his word precedes what we do in this life. Amen? Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Look what it says right here in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. that the aged men, and that means mature men, and I believe that this word speaks to us as mankind, not just men, but it means mature men and women, can be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The soundness of the word will divinely change your character and your nature. The Bible says that when we're saved, we have a right to a divine nature. I want you to know that people should see you come into tough situations and still reflect the love and power of Christ to them. I mean, when you think about it, you would think that when the disciples got on the ship with the Lord, they were seasoned fishermen. They had been on the water in a storm before. So when they were shaken in that storm, I don't think it was just a little wave flop. I think it was a serious situation. But I tell you what, even the disciples had Jesus right in front of them, and if they're not careful, they let their circumstances around them take their eye off of him. Now, thank God that in the middle of the storm, even when he was still sleeping, because he knew what his father had said, thank God that they refocused and put their eye on him. And even though he gave them a little rebuking and said, "Where is your faith?" The point is, they came back to him. Even though their words weren't filled with faith, they said, "Master." Amen? And I tell you what, that we have always got to remember that when our life gets a little shaky and when things happen, we have to be willing to make sure that we put our eye back on the Lord. That's one of the things that I want you to know that's going to be the most consistent, important thing that you do over the years, is that even when you have a situation, you put your eye back on the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Oh, there's one other little thing that I want to share with you tonight. And we tapped on it last week, Thursday. Pastor Regina and Pastor Mike was stepping on my scripture here. And I thought I would just save it for tonight. Remember, we talked a little bit about this last week, and I just want to land right here, because in Romans chapter 12, remember what it says. "I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, I want you to understand something. That if the Lord expects you to present your body a living sacrifice, I want you to know that the Bible says that the Lord will sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? I want you to know that God has an expectation. You know, there are even some churches that are doctrinally wrong, but they'll teach stuff like, "Well, you're always going to have sin, and you're always going to have the flesh." And I tell you what, Paul even said that, "When I want to, my flesh does wrong when I want to do right." That doesn't mean that Paul just said that to live that way. Paul said that so that he could let you know that if Paul the apostle has to correct his flesh, so do you. He didn't say that so that you could sit there and say, "Well, hallelujah. If Paul the apostle said that sometimes his flesh does what he doesn't want it to do, then I guess I can't measure up to Paul." No, stop. He's only sharing that with you so that you can make the change necessary to get to the point where you don't allow your flesh to rule. And I want you to hear what the word says to you, that you should present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Now, first of all, listen to me. That means that you start living holy. Cussing should be evaporated from your vocabulary. Carnality, violence, meanness, negativity, being offendable. These are things that should be eliminated from your character and your nature. And listen here. Sometimes the church is so fleshy that they act like that's extraordinary. But guess what the Bible says? That's your reasonable service. That means it's well within your ability if you would really humble yourself, surrender, like the worship team told us. It's all your fault, worship team. Surrender. And they didn't ask you just to surrender a little bit, did they? They said, let's surrender all. So if we would surrender to God, guess what? We would find out that not only is it a reasonable service, but you know what? It will start giving you joy to take on the character and the nature of God. I'm telling you, you'll start telling your sweetie pie, honey, today I had a situation at work where I would usually lose my cool. And I tell you what, I kept it calm. Man, I'm telling you, someone came pushing their way down the highway trying to get in front of me. And you know, normally I'd speed up and block them, and I'd speed up and make sure if you try to pass me, I'm going to make sure you can't. You know, today I thought, you know what? That could be a mother taking her sick child to the hospital. I said, that could be a father racing home because his wife had to go to the emergency. That could be any situation. And so today, instead of putting myself first, I not only did I pull back and let them get over, but I prayed for them. Lord, whatever's going on with them, Lord, whatever made them almost run me off the road and didn't let them see me even though I was beeping and giving them the evil eye, God, whatever it was. Oh, I saw some knobs in agreement. Praise God. I caught some, but I won't say who. But whatever it was, God, I pray that you would just bless them. And I want you to know something. That we talked a little bit about this with Pastor Mike, we were talking about this. It says, this is your reasonable service. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, remember that first of all, study to show yourself approved means that we have to put some effort into something. And if you're going to be transformed, it means that you're going to have to put some effort into it. And so when it says, be not conformed to this world, you know what we decided last week that that meant? How do you become conformed? You do nothing. You don't take the time to honor God. You don't take the time to read the word. You don't take the time to pick up your cross. You don't make it purposeful that you're going to change. I tell you what, it needs to be intentional that we think, I'm going to treat my friends better. I'm going to treat my spouse better. I'm going to pray more over my children and pray more as a parent that when I interact with them, I interact by the Spirit of God and not by the attitude of myself. And certainly not by the leftover baggage that was put upon me from how my parents might have treated me wrongfully. I tell you what, I expect the Holy Ghost and the power of God to be that which transforms us and changes us. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare your glory tonight, God. Father, we declare your ability to come upon us, Father. Lord, I thank you that one thing that we have an absolute guarantee of within our salvation is that we can now do all things through Christ who gives us strength, Father. Lord, that we are not in this on our own power anymore, God. But once we are saved, the Spirit of God is upon us. And Lord, we can do all things through Jesus Christ. We cannot do it on our own efforts. But Father, when we submit ourselves, pick up our cross, follow after the Lord, we are able to accomplish what he has for us. And God, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now we put Doug before you, God. And Father, Lord, we thank you, first of all, that he's a part of our online family, God. And Lord, we thank you right now, Father, right now that this request has been met, Father. Lord, we pray right now that the working of miracles and healing would go into his body. Right now, you are sending your word, Father. And by the blood of Jesus and in the powerful name of Jesus, we curse these muscle spasms and, God, these Charlie horses and pains that come into these muscles, God, and I command all of that to come out in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that there will be no muscle spasms, God, and no stiffness, God. And, Lord, I just speak to whatever other issues there are, God, and I ask that in Jesus' name, swelling. Water retention, I curse you. I command all of that to leave him, Father and Lord. I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I also pray for strengthening in those joints and ligaments, God. Father, I speak, God, even for the beginning stages of arthritis, I curse that, Father, and I command pain to leave his body, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to do a couple more things tonight. So first of all, I want to thank you to our online family of faith for being with us. And I thank you for being with us. And I'm going to just look forward to seeing you again on Sunday morning. Amen.